Well, good morning. This is Barry O'Dell with the Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring Facebook page. It is Monday morning, September 11th, 2023. Hope everybody's doing all right today. We are in the book of Micah. We've been doing a study of the minor prophets over the last few weeks, and we're starting a new book today, the book of Micah. As always, comments and questions are welcome on either this Facebook page or the nearchurches.com Facebook page. We stream over there too. And then, of course, once the live stream is over, we upload all of this content to our YouTube channel, and you can always comment or ask questions there. Good morning, Lyle. Good morning, Janie. Good to see you guys this morning. Hope everybody's had a good weekend. Good morning, Anna. The Book of Micah. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Micah is an 8th century prophet of the Old Testament. He's prophesying about 730 to 700 BC or so. He's contemporary with several guys, as we've talked about, other prophets like Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, Jonah. And Micah is, the way I look at Micah, it's only 7 chapters, 105 verses. The book of Micah is kind of a condensed Isaiah. That's kind of the way I view it. Now, Isaiah, of course, much longer and deals with foreign nations and everything. Micah doesn't do that. Micah stays strictly in the promised land in terms of his prophecies. Hey, good morning, Shirley. Good to see you. In terms of his prophecies, just for instance, a few words that are repeatedly mentioned: Jacob, Israel, Zion, Judah, Jerusalem. They're mentioned several times in these 7 chapters, and that is his audience. Isaiah goes all over the map, you might say. But Micah stays at home with God's people, and we don't know a lot about him. We know he's from Moresheth, or if you're looking at a King James, I think it says Moresheth Gath. It's an area down in Judah, southern Israel, that borders with the Philistines, borders down in that area. But anyway, we don't really know a whole lot about him. So we'll get started here, just looking at some things. So he's doing his work in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And like we've already pointed out, that's similar with several other prophets, several other minor and major prophets of your Old Testament. And Jotham and Hezekiah, those are two of the, what we refer to, or what Scripture refers to as, two of the good kings of the nation of Judah. Ahaz is one of the evil kings. So for, you might say, for a majority of his time as a prophet, he has two good kings. Again, Jotham and Hezekiah. But one of the, hey, there's Gail. But one of the issues that he deals with is the people in general. So you can have good leadership, but you know, you've got to follow that good leadership if you want to be good yourself, and that's a problem. He deals with their idolatry, their moral decline, and things like this. And there are quite a few pronouncements of judgment and doom and God's anger coming down upon his people. So some of these prophets, when they are doing their work, they're doing it during the days of some of the worst kings. Well, Micah's not exactly like that. Hey, good morning, Michelle. Good to see you. All right, so we'll get started on the text. Like I said, not a lot of introductory material. He deals with moral decline, judgment, all of that. You'll see it. The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Now, those two terms we need to understand. Samaria, that's indicative of northern Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and Jerusalem would be the capital of southern Israel or Judah. So it's always important to understand that as you're reading through your prophets, precisely who is being discussed. Hear, all you peoples, listen, O earth, and all that is in it. Let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. Now that's a reference, okay, God's holy temple. This is not talking about the temple in Jerusalem. God doesn't live in that temple. This is God essentially, the language here is indicative of God coming down out of heaven in terms of judgment. He sees what's going on, he sees what is going on with the people, and he's coming. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. And then you have some very expressive language here. The mountains will melt under him. The valleys will split like wax before the fire. The waters, like waters poured out on a steep place. Well, I mean, God is spirit. He is not literally going to descend from heaven and melt mountains. Again, this would be indicative of God's wrath, his fury against his people, and that's kind of where Micah goes next. Well, why is this anger taking place? Hey, good morning, Sheila. Well, it's because for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? Okay, so again, Jacob, Samaria, that's a reference to northern Israel. Well, they've not had one good king for 200 years. Hey, good morning, Connie. Good to see you. For 200 years of their existence, northern Israel has not had one good king. After the kingdom split from Solomon, the first king, of course, was Jeroboam, which led Israel right into idolatry. And it was just downhill from there. So, Micah chapter 1 and verse 5, the transgression of Jacob, it's Samaria. It's the capital. This is the way the people have gone. Well, what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? So even at this point in time, even Judah has begun the process of departing from God, turning to idolatry, and things like this. So I will make Samaria a heap. You go to verse 7, the carved images, their pay as a harlot. And of course, we're familiar with this as we've been going through these minor prophets. This language of Israel and Judah playing the harlot, or, you know, acting like a prostitute, it's political, it's a religious description. They are prostituting themselves with foreign nations, whether it's Assyria or Egypt or Syria. Assyria and Syria. I wasn't saying the same thing twice. These people are prostituting themselves. They're looking for political gain. They're looking for protection from foreign enemies. And instead of turning to God like they should have done, they're turning to everything else. So they're acting like prostitutes. Instead of turning to the one, and think of the book of Hosea. Okay, the relationship of Hosea and Gomer. It illustrated the relationship between God and Israel. So that's what it is here. Samaria is going to be made a heap of ruins. The carved images, verse 7, are going to be beaten to pieces. Her pay as a harlot will be burned with fire. Her idols will lay desolate. So, pretty straightforward. This is nothing new that we haven't studied so far in the prophets. But the main cause, obviously sin, but seems to be the main sin in the mind of God here through the prophet, would be idolatry, harlotry, prostitution. Connie says, kind of like the U.S. today. Yeah. And that's the game. That's the game that nations have to play, isn't it? Seek your protection from anybody that'll give you more money. Anyway, now this is the prophet's response to this. Micah chapter 1 and verse 8. So the judgment's been pronounced. He gets right to it in those first 7 verses. Here's his response to this, Micah personally. Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the jackals, and a mourning like the ostriches. He's going to make noise about this, and his mourning is going to be obvious to everybody around him. And this is the role of a prophet, or one of the roles of a prophet, was to warn the people of impending judgment and impending destruction. Well, her wounds are incurable, for it has come to Judah, it has come to pass at the gate of my people Jerusalem. And this is one thing I've pointed out so far, because the prophets we've looked at prior to Micah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, all of those prophets predate Micah. They are contemporary, but to an extent they predate him a little bit. And even your major prophets, and in particular Isaiah was fairly early, 750 or so. Israel was the primary target of God's wrath, but Judah is constantly warned. And one thing that we've read so far as we've gone throughout the minor prophets is the prophet's telling Judah, listen, your sister Israel, they've done this and this and this has happened to them. You need to learn from them. Well, now, you know, going down the timeline, going through the chronology of the prophets, Judah didn't learn. And you'll see that progression as we continue through all of these minor prophets. So now her wound is incurable. Micah chapter 1 and verse 9, it's come all the way to the gate of Jerusalem. What Micah then does here in verses 10 and 11, essentially, is he uses a play on words with several cities. This is kind of interesting what he does here. I'll just read the two verses and then we'll come back and look at it. Tell it not in Gath, weep not at all in Bethophra. Weep not at all. In Bethophra, roll yourself in the dust. Pass by in naked shame, you inhabitants of Shaphar. The inhabitant of Zaanan does not go out. Beth-Ezel mourns. Its place to stand has been taken from you. Now, these names, cities, however, whatever you want to call it, these regions that are named here, and then what they are told to do or not do, it's a series of puns. The names are used to indicate something. So, for instance, in Bethophra, roll yourself in the dust. Well, the phrase Bethophra means house of dust. So, well, it's a time of mourning. Again, these are plays on words in regard to judgment that's coming. So in the house of dust, you need to roll in the dust. You think of sitting in, and we dealt with this in Jonah, when the Ninevites were called to repentance, they sat in sackcloth and ashes. And sometimes ashes were just that, ashes from a fire, but sometimes it was a reference to the dust, throwing dust up in the air. Pouring dust on one's head would be indicative of mourning over judgment. Well, in Bethophra, in the house of dust, roll yourself in the dust. Pass by in naked shame, you inhabitant of Shaphar. The word Shaphar means beauty. Well, in her punishment, because we're talking about Judah's wounds, verse 9, and what Judah's going to suffer, they're going to be stripped and seen for what they are. And instead of something that's beautiful, it's going to be something that's shameful, because the idolatry, the sin that's going to be revealed. And Micah deals mainly, he does touch on idolatry, but as you progress through the text, he deals mainly with the moral decline that was taking place in both Samaria and Judah. But something that should have been beautiful is turned into naked shame, verse 11. The inhabitants of Zaanan, that word has the idea of marching from one place to another. The inhabitants of Zaanan does not go, the inhabitant does not go out. Well, you're going to be captured. You're going to be taken. Instead of marching out, you're not going anywhere. Judgment's coming to you. Beth-Ezel mourns. Its place to stand is taken away from you. Beth-Ezel, the word literally means house of narrowing. You're not going to have anywhere. Again, it's indicative of the judgment that's coming. There's nowhere to run to. You're in a tight spot. And it's because, again, verse 9, your wounds are incurable. It's too late. And so you've got a narrow place and you're going to have to stand in it. For the inhabitants of Meroth pined away for good. Meroth means bitterness. Well, they were pining away for good. They were in a bitter spirit. But disaster comes down from the Lord to the gate of Jerusalem. Now he gets back into... He uses several plays on those words. Now he gets back to Jerusalem. O inhabitants of Lachish, harness the chariot to the swift steeds. She was the beginning of sin to the daughter of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in you. So it's the whole nation's covered in it. It's not just northern Israel anymore. Judah's now involved. Jerusalem's involved. And like I said earlier, those names, Judah, Jerusalem, Zion, they're used repeatedly throughout the book of Micah, because that is his target audience. Therefore, you shall give presents to Moresheth Gath. The house of Achzib shall lie in the shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. I will yet bring an heir to you, O inhabitants of Marisha. The glory of Israel shall come to Adullam. Make yourself bald and cut off your hair because of your precious children. Enlarge your baldness like an eagle, for they shall go from you into captivity. Again, plays on words. These words mean something, and they are indicative of the judgment that's coming, of the captivity that's coming. Make yourself bald, the idea of shaving one's head in the sense of mourning. And so chapter one is obviously the introduction to the book. But it lays the groundwork for the rest of the book, where we go from here. Judgment's coming. God's wrath is coming from His holy temple, chapter 1 and verse 2. Now, you get to chapter 2, And again, he starts talking about the moral decline. I don't want to get too far into chapter 2, and today's video might be a little bit shorter, but that's okay. Woe to those who devise iniquity. And this, as you get into chapter 2, it shows the depth of sin that's been taking place. Listen to this here. Woe to you, or to those who devise iniquity and work out evil on their beds. At morning light they practice it because it is in their power, in the power of their hand. They do evil because they can do evil. And not only do they do evil because they can, they work it out the night before. It's like every thought. It's okay, I think of Genesis chapter 6. Every thought of man's heart was only evil continually. I think that's Genesis 6 and verse 5. Well, that's the picture here of God's people. It's just constant. They cannot take their mind off, what can I do next? So the moral decline is quite something. They cover fields and take them by covet fields and take them by violence. Also houses and seize them. They oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. So, here's what's going to happen. And he goes back to judgment. Against this family, I am devising disaster from which you cannot remove your necks. And we've talked about that a bit as we've gone throughout this study of the prophets. Not only do you have God's prophets, like the major and minor prophets, but you have false prophets that are constantly, like Isaiah and Jeremiah say, they're prophesying peace when there is no peace. They're trying to comfort God's people when in reality there's no comfort that can be had because of their sin. There's no way to escape what's getting ready to come to them. You're not going to walk haughtily, for this is an evil time. I think I'm going to stop there for today. I didn't want to get really into chapter 2 much. I just wanted to lay the groundwork for the book of Micah. And the plan is we'll do Micah today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and then move on to Nahum, because a lot of this stuff we have already covered in previous prophets. Now, as we go, there are going to be things that we pick up that other prophets have not said or that were not recorded that they said. And then as we go, some of these books get a bit shorter. But I think I'm going to stop there for today. Micah chapter 2 and verse 5. We'll pick up in chapter 2 because he then, chapter 2 and verse 6, because he starts then talking about the prophets. And that's what I just mentioned. Not only do you have the true prophets, but you have false prophets who are telling everybody everything's okay. Don't worry about it. God's going to take care of us. You know, whatever lie they're telling, Micah deals with that next. So let's just cut it off here for today. Guys, good to see all of you. Thank you for being on here. I don't see any questions. Pretty straightforward stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of questions to be asked, but it's an interesting study anyway. That's it, guys. Thank you. Good to see you. And let's pick up tomorrow in Micah chapter 2 and verse 6. And hope to see you back here tomorrow at 11 o'clock.